Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Samach Dalid. We are holding on daf Kuf Samach Gimel and Beis, two lines from the end of the page, at the word Gufa. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishvas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Leah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They shall all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to discuss is a shtar that's written over a mechika, that if you have a clear erasure that happened, so is that shtar going to be kosher? We're going to go back to a comment that Rav had in yesterday's daf, that shtar haba hu ve'edov ala mechak, kosher, that a shtar where the whole shtar and the edim are signed on the mechak, that it is in fact kosher. So the Gemara is going to raise questions about how that could be kosher, and about if there's a way to test whether various types of mechik on shtaros, and whether how many times something was erased. Then the Gemara, that's going to be all of Amar Alef. Then the Gemara is going to address the concern of turning a shtar mekushar into a shtar pashut. Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel said in the Mishnah that a shtar mekushar where the edim are mitocho is kosher, because you can always turn it into a shtar pashut. So the Gemara is going to question, is that really so simple that you could turn a shtar mekushar into a shtar pashut? Aren't there other discrepancies between them that would make it very difficult to turn a shtar mekushar into, or make it problematic to turn a shtar mekushar into a shtar pashut? Then the Gemara is going to discuss how they would write a date on a shtar mekushar, on a get mekushar, and what concerns that might come with in terms of the writing of the date on the shtar mekushar. And that's going to lead the Gemara into a brief discussion of different numbers in a foreign language. I think it's Greek in the and a couple of places that comes up in halacha. And then the Gemara is going to conclude with a maisa that related to a get mekushar that had confused Rebbe, and a couple of conversations between Rebbe and his son. So let's begin at the word gufa again, two lines from the end of the page on daf kuf samach gimlam beis. So says our gufa, we just learned in yesterday's daf that Amar Rav shtar haba hu ve'edov al mechak kosher, that if you have a shtar that the text and the edim are signed over and written over in an erasure, clearly it was erased before, that is going to be kosher. The imtomar, maybe you're going to say that it should be possible because the balashtar may have done the following: mochek v'chozer mochek, meaning it may have been erased once. The entire shtar may have been erased once, and then he wrote a new nusach of a shtar, and he signed edim on that new nusach of the shtar, and then maybe it was he erased the nusach of the shtar again, but this time leaving the signatures of the edim on the bottom of the shtar, and he wrote a whole brand new shtar, and no one's going to realize that this is mezuyaf because the whole thing is erased. Meaning, if the whole thing was written on clean cloth, so then you know it's good. If the whole thing was written on erased cloth, though, you don't know that the whole thing is good, because it could have been erased once, and then they wrote the whole shtar, and then he just erased the whole text of the shtar, and he changed all the numbers, and he changed all the details, leaving the signatures of the edim. So says Gemara, that's not a concern. Eino doma nimchak pamachas lenimchak shtei pamim. It wouldn't look at all the same. Meaning, if the text of the shtar was written over something that was erased twice, and the edim were written on something that was only erased once, well, they wouldn't look similar to each other. So the shtar would be screaming out that there's a problem over here. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned when you have a shtar where the entire text and the edim are written over a mechak, that it's going to be problematic. We know that it was only erased once. So, frek the Gemara, I'm still not convinced. V'lechosh dilma shadi diyusa amakom edim eikara. Maybe originally, before he ever signed the edim on the shtar, he threw some ink on the makom where the edim would be signed, and then he erased that ink. So it turns out the entire shtar was not erased. The makom hachasimos was erased one time, and then he wrote on the entire shtar and on the makom hachasimos, and then he erased all of it. So now it turns out that the shtar itself was erased once, and the makom hachasimos was erased twice, and now we'll be able to write a brand new shtar by erasing the shtar by erasing the makom hashtar a second time and writing whatever he wants in the shtar. shtar. Meaning you could doctor it up in a way where the very first time the shtar is written, the edim are already signing on a mechika. And that will give him the leverage, the ability to be mochek the nusach of the shtar and rewrite the shtar while leaving the edim and thereby matching the nusach of the shtar with the edim in terms of how many mechikos it was written over. Dechi hadar machik lelahai. And when he goes and erases the entire shtar and he writes what he wants in the shtar, it's not going to be so recognizable that there was a ziyuf, because havle idividi nimchak shtepamim. It's going to turn out that the makom of the nusach of the shtar and the makom of the chasimos are both written over that which was erased twice. Now, even though the makom of the shtar was erased once, the makom of chasimos was erased twice, initially, meaning the case that we're setting up is that initially when he writes it, the makom of the chasima, the makom of the shtar was erased once, and the makom of chasim was erased twice. People of edim aren't going to, meaning that when he asks edim to sign on it, that the edim aren't going to realize that, because when the gemara says ein adom nimchak pamachas lenimchak shtei pamim, Tosus points out that's when there's a ksiva on the mechika. Then it's nikur mitoch ksiva whether it was written on one mechika or on two mechikos. But when the entirety of the shtar was erased, then you're not going to be able to tell whether it was machuk pamachas or machuk shtei pamim. And even when they sign on the shtar, they're not going to be able to see the chiluk between them until the ink dries. By the time the ink dries, it's too late. They've already signed on it. So the concern is a legitimate concern, and we're not going to say, well, why would Adam sign on this, realizing that they're signing on a section of the shtar that doesn't match the top of the shtar? No, Adam will still sign on it because they're not going to realize that they're signing on a section of the shtar that doesn't match the top of the shtar. Rabbeinu Gershom writes that since when he brings the shtar in front of the Adam, the shtar was entirely written other than the space where the chasimos are, they're not going to realize that the makom of shtar was only machuk once and the makom of the chasimos was machuk twice. Rabbeinu Yonah says that only the dayanim are metaktik bedavar to understand the difference between a shtar that's machuk pamachas and a shtar that's machuk shnei pa'amim, that we don't trust edim to be able to tell the difference, and that's how the edim are going to sign on such a shtar. But be that as it may, the Gemara has this question, that how can we allow a shtar that's written on a mechika? There's a way to doctor it up, where you're going to get Edom to sign on it, you're going to have the Edom signed over an area that was erased one more time than the nusach of the shtar, which gives you the liberty to erase the whole nusach of the shtar and rewrite whatever you want in the nusach of the shtar, now with the certification of Edom at the bottom. So answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye Kasav Rav, Eino Edom Chosmin ala Mechak, Ela Imke Nimchak Befnehem. No, there's a rule. Edom are not allowed to sign over an erased area unless the shtar was erased in front of them and they saw how it looked before the Mechika and how it looks after the Mechika. So Mimela, if you're going to first erase the place where the chasimos of the Edom are supposed to go and not the rest of the shtar, and then you're going to erase the rest of the shtar in front of them, it will be very clear to them the difference between the makam of the chasima that was erased twice and the rest of the shtar that was erased once, and they're going to say, we're not touching this shtar with a 10-foot pole, because it's very clear that there's a difference between the space where the nusach of the shtar was written and the space where you want us to sign. So the Gemara asks on Rav, who was machshir, again, Rav said that that a shtar that's written kulu ala mechak is kosher. So now that we've addressed the concerns about can't you utilize the edim that are written for totally new nusach of the shtar, the Gemara addresses a different concern, meisvei. So the Gemara asks, who al niyar the edav al mechak kosher? That we have a brisa that says that if the shtar itself is written on unerased parchment and the edim are signed on erased parchment, then it's kosher. But according to Rav, v'nechosh dilma machiklei v'kasam my debayi v'avlei hu v'edav al machak. But how can you say such a shtar is kosher? Shouldn't you be choshesh that if the shtar was written on niyar, it was written on clean parchment, the edim signed on a machak, shouldn't you be choshesh that the guy's going to go, he's going to erase the entire nusach of the shtar, he'll write whatever he wants for twice the money for whatever else, and now it's going to look beautiful, it's going to be an exact match. The nusach of the shtar in the place of the edim is all going to be on the mechak, and it's all going to be nimchak pamachas. So answers Gemara, no, the edim are not actually allowed to sign on a mechak, the kasvi hachi, the edim write on the shtar as follows: Anachna sahadi chasamna al mechaka. We edim are signed on a mechak ushtaruk sav al nayara, and the shtar itself is written on niyar. And memela, meaning they have to certify that as part of their signatures, they say what they're signing and what it looks like in the place that they're signing and what it looks like in the rest of the shtar. So since they're saying very explicitly that this shtar was written on clean parchment, our edus, our signatures are written on used parchment, on previously used and erased parchment, so then there's no room for monkey business. You're not going to be able to go and erase the nusach of the shtar, because then it's not going to look like what the edim certify. Ask the Gemara, to kasvi hecha, where do they write such a thing? The shtar was written on niyar, and that their signatures are written on a mechak. Imil tachas, if they write that underneath their signatures, well, that's an easy fix. Guy is lay. Let the guy just cut off the bottom of the shtar, and then you won't have that. So v'ilai, and if they wrote it above their signatures, machakli, they could just erase that because their signatures appear over erasures, over an area that's erased. So it'll look like a larger area that's erased. So it's not going to call into question anything. So says Gemara, no. They do the following: the kasvi beit sahadal the Sahada. They write this in between the chasima of the first aid and the chasima of the second aid. So you can't erase this and you can't cut it out, because when the shtar is going to come, it will look like this shtar was written on niyar and it was signed on mechak. And if you erase the shtar and you write other things, everyone's going to realize that it's mezuyof and that it's pasul. Why can't you just erase it? Meaning if it's in between the two signatures, so Rabbeinu Gershom explains, because ein adam shtar shenimchak pamachas nimchas that the area where the edim are signed is already erased. So if you're going to erase something else, now the shtar is going to look like it was cloth that was scraped twice, that was erased twice. And therefore, where the edim signatures actually appear, it was only erased once, and that's going to scream out at us that there's a problem over here. And that's what Tosos quotes in Dibra Maskul Gufan, Kufsamak on the base, in the name of the Rivam as well. However, Tosos rejects that, because he says there's no difference between, the difference between the mechikos is not so nicker unless you write again on top of the mechika. But when the mechika is left empty, you can't really tell the difference between nimchak pamachas and nimchak shtei pamim. And therefore, we're back to the question, meaning the Gemara had said, oh, the simple way to certify that this shtar was written on the yar and that the edim are signed on the mechak is simply by writing that in between the two signatures. And there's no way they could erase that. Well, why can't they erase that? So again, the first interpretation was Rabbeinu Gershom. He said, because if you erase that, then that area will be machak shtei pamim and that will be recognizable. Tosa says, no, it won't. It's only recognizable if you then write something else on top of that which was machak shtei pamim. So Tosus writes that any shtar that comes on a mechek, that there's space between the chasimus ha'edim and it's enough space that you could write such a nusach, we would immediately be choshesh that something was written there. I mean, normally edim sign directly one under the other or one right next to the other. If there is ample space in between chasima number one, chasima number two, and the area where they're signed has erasures, then we're not going to accept such a shtar, because obviously we're going to be concerned that that there was something that the edim had written there that has since been erased. So it turns out, according to the Gemara, a shtar that the nusach and the edim are written on a mechak is kosher, whereas a shtar al niyar and the edim signed on the mechak is not going to be kosher unless the edim also certify together with their signature that we wrote this on a mechak and the nusach of the shtar was on a niyar. Right? That's how the Gemara concludes. That if the whole thing was on a mechak, then you just need the signatures of the edim, everything's fine. But if the edim are on a mechak and the rest of the shtar was on a niyar, so then you need to have, you need a special certification of the edim when they sign it. So Frektos, so Sakasha, again back on Kufsam Kol Mavez and Dibra Maskul Gufa, he says, why weren't the Chum Mesak in the opposite? That a shtar that's entirely written on the mechak, let the edim, make the edim sign that the peferish, that the shtar and the chasimos were written on an erased cloth. And the shtar that comes, the shtar that's written written on clean parchment, where the Edom are on the Mechak, then they don't have to write anything, and there's no Chashash Ziyuf, because if you're then going to be Mezayif and you're going to erase the Shtar and write a brand new Shtar, it's going to be possible, because it doesn't have the certification of the Edom. Meaning, wouldn't it be more Mestaver to make the Takana that way? You have these two models of Shtaros, a Shtar that's entirely on a Mechak, and another model of a Shtar that's the Nusuf of the Shtar is written on clean parchment, and the Edom are signed on a Mechak. Which one should require special certification of the Edom? So the Gemara says the one that requires special certification is the second one, where it's Niyar and Mechak. Says Tosos, that's not Mestaver at all. Much more Mestaver to require special certification of the Edom, and the whole thing is on Mechak. Because if the whole thing is Mechak, there's a Chashash Ziyuf that maybe originally was Niyar, and now the Edom, they erased it and wrote this brand new Shtar. Whereas the Shtar that's on Niyar and the Edom are on the Mechak, there's no Chashash that it was already Mezuyaf. The only Chashash is that it lends itself to future Ziyuf. Meaning if the Nusuf of the Shtar is on clean parchment, it obviously wasn't erased. That's obviously the original writing on that Shtar. So the only concern with such a Shtar is, oh, but who knows? Maybe tomorrow he'll go and he'll erase it. But if you have the whole thing on Mechak, it's not maybe tomorrow, it's maybe yesterday. Maybe it already happened. So isn't it more Mestaber, Frektosos, that if you need a certification, it would be a certification on that which already looks like it's Mezuyaf? So Tosos says that a Shtar that's entirely on Mechak is much more common. Because the Sofrim have a lot of shtaros that were written Shaloka Hogan, meaning a lot of times Sofrim have mess ups. So when they mess up, they have all these parchments, so they're erasing all the whatever they have. It's much more common for them to have it around and to be mochik and write over them. Whereas a shtar that's on the yar and the edim on the mechak is something that's not so common. So if the Chachamim are going to be mesakin anything, they decided to write this nusach on the less common of the shtaros, because it's a whole hassle to write this. So instead of writing this, they knew that they only needed a takana on one or the other. So in a chinami, it's more mestaber to make the takana on a shtar that might already be mezuyif than on a shtar that we are choshesh will one day be mezuyif, but it's going to be a lot, meaning there are a lot of shtaros that are already kulo nimchak. Whereas there are very few that are only nimchak in the makom hachasimos and not nimchak on the makom above the chasimos. So ask the Gemara Ihachi, if you have this takana to write this special certification of the chasimos eidim that we are hereby signing on a makom mechak and the shtar was written on a makom that's clean. So ema seifa, how you can explain the seifa? The Brisa seifa goes on to say, hu al mechak, if the shtar itself was on an erased area of the parchment, the eidav al niyar, and the eidim are signed on an area of the parchment that was not erased, puzzle, it's going to be puzzle, because then you could be mezayif and just erase the entire shtar and write other things on the shtar. But am I puzzle? Why should that be puzzle? Hachanami nichtavu hachi anachnasadi chasam nal niyaru shtar al mechaka. Can't you have them certify it the same way? Let them write that we, the eidim, have signed on clean parchment, and this shtar was written on the mechak, and therefore we'll know that this is that this is the way it was written. So says Gemara, hashtanami mayamrit. And what are you going to say that now we should be choshesh that mochek choser mochek, that you're going to erase the shtar and write what you want and write something new on the shtar, and the certification of the edim will not help you, because the edim already said that the shtar was written on the mechak. That's what they certified. So why are you postulating this? Because you're concerned that you could erase it a second time and write whatever you want? Well, you can't do that. Because we already said that if something was erased once, it looks very different than something that was erased twice. So if you have a shtar that's written on the mechak and the edim that are written on niyar, and the edim write, the edims verify, we wrote on niyar, the shtar was written on mechak, there should be no further concern. Why does the Brisa say that's possible? What's going to happen? What's the worst that could happen? That someone's going to go and erase the top of the shtar and rewrite it? That would be recognizable in a second. Because they know Doma, if it's Nimchak Pamachas, to Nimchak Shtei Pa'amim. So that's the Gemara's Kasha. Now the Rishonim raised the Kasha, that if only the second, in such a case, it would turn out that only the aid sheni is made on the fact that the shtar was written on the mechak, whereas the first aid is signed before that nusach. So we should be choshesh that maybe the shtar was written on the yard, like it was supposed to be, and then Eid Echad signed on it, and then the Mezayif was Mochek, the Nusach of the Shtar, and he wrote whatever he wanted, and then after the Chasima Seid Rishon, they added the Nusach Anachna Sahadi, and they signed the second Eid, and even though the second Eid is being made on the fact that the Shtar was written on a Mechak, that's only an Eid Echad, and you can't be Motzi Momon, I'll be Eid Echad, so shouldn't you be Choshesh for that? That's a pretty creative question. I mean, you're assuming a lot, giving a lot of credit to the Mezaifim. So the Rashba in the Tshuvas writes that it's not such a kasha, because even one aid, even though it's only one aid that signed on it, we're not choshet that he's going to be Meshaker. We're so meich on the fact that that he did it midas, the first aid as well, and therefore you don't have to be choshet that one aid is going to play along with such a thing. But anyway, so back to the Gemara's question. So the Gemara is asking, what would possibly be the concern if the Edim are signed on Niyar and the Shtar is written on Machak? So says Gemara, that which we said that there's a difference between Nimchak Pamachas and Nimchak Shtei Pamim, that's only in a case where the Edim signed on the place that was erased once and the Shtar is written on a place that was erased twice. So you could see the difference between the Makom of the Chasimus HaEdim and the Makom of the Chasivus HaShtar. But if the Edim are not signed on Machak at all, Ela Aniyara, they're signed on clean parchment, then Lo Yadia, then it's not going to be recognizable how many times the Mechika happened. So that's why it's going to be possible. Meaning if the whole thing is written on Mechika, so you could see this is where this part of the parchment was scraped more than that part of the parchment. But if the Edom are signed on clean parchment that was never touched, and the Shtar was written on a Mechika, you can't tell just by looking at a Mechika how many times it was erased, how many times it was scraped off, how many times the ink was scraped off, and therefore we are concerned that the Bala Shtar is going to go. He's going to scrape off the entire Nusach of the Shtar, and he's going to write whatever he wants in its place. So ask the Gemara, there's still a way to be Mevarer, whether this Mechika happened once or twice. You can't look at it by comparing it to the Niyar, that's where the Edom signed, but just V'leisi Mekilta Achriti, bring another cloth, V'limchok, and erase it another time, right? Erase that cloth, V'lidmi, and compare it, and see if it looks like the cloth, the other cloth that was erased. The Ritva points out, this is assuming there's no extra space on the cloth that you're actually using to go and try this, this experiment. Meaning, I want to know, I'm looking at this shtar. The Edom are signed on clear cloth that clearly was never scraped, never erased. The Nusach of the shtar was on something that was scraped or erased. And I'm trying to figure out how many times was that erased. If it was erased once, it's going to be good. But if it was erased twice, then I know I have a problem. And I can't tell by looking at it. So simply take another cloth, put some ink on it, scrape it off, write over it, and look if it looks the same. If the other cloth that you have was erased once, and this was erased twice, it will look different from each other. Says Gemara, no, it won't. The impact on the cloth of a mechika is going to be different from one cloth to the next. So it's not always going to look exactly the same. We use cloth to sign the smichas in yeshiva, and it's ain't adam, one to the next. I'm signing them with a pen, and it's like some of them write easily. Some of them are much harder to write on. They're just different. Each klaf is going to be a little different than the next. So the impact of a mechika from one to the other is not going to be so pashut. So ask the Gemara, still there's a way to check if the mechika is on the same Shabbat. Let's first get the chasimus ha'edim in the beizdin that look like true proper signatures, v'limchok, and then will be mochik the chasimus of the edim that have other things written on them, v'lidmi, and we'll compare the shtar that's the nusach of this shtar to the ksav that we write on the mechika of the chasimos. And if the ksav and mardoma one to the other, we'll know that this shtar, meaning do it within the same parchment, just erase where the signatures were written on the yar. So erase that. Okay, now we know we had these signatures. Good. So Bezin knows what they're dealing with. Erase the signatures, write over the signatures, and you'll see if it looks like the rest of the shtar. If the it looks exactly like the rest of the shtar, then it was all nimchak pamachas, and the shtar was kosher. If it does not look like the rest of the shtar, then you'll know that the rest of the shtar is nimchak shtei pamim. So it says, no, Amar Rav Hoshaya, eino dama nimchak ben yom, nimchak ben shnei yamim. No, because the rest of the shtar may have been erased only once, but it was erased yesterday. This part of the shtar, we're just experimenting with today, and you can't compare that which was erased today and that which was erased yesterday. So it says, okay, well, there's a simple way to fix that. Velishaye, wait another day, and then you'll see what this looks like tomorrow. So it says, we're choshesh that Bezin is going to make a mistake with this, and not going to know how to compare the mechikos to one another, or they're not going to know to keep the shtar over a second day to wait for it. That's how the Rashbam writes. The Ritva writes that even though we had said previously on Kufla Mechesem Beis that we're not choshesh the Beis in Tawin, that just means we're not choshesh for a Beis that's going to make a mistake in halacha, but for a Beis that's going to make a mistake in this type of investigation of how to compare erased scraped parchment to each other, that we are choshesh for a Beis in Tawin. Rabbeinu Gershom says that the choshesh is a Beis is not going to search, is not going to research at all the mechikos. That once they see that the Edom are signed in the shtar that had a mechika, they're just going to be somich on it, and they're not going to be toreach themselves to be bodek whether it happened twice or it happened only once. Rabbi Yonah says similarly that we're choshesh bezin tovim means we're choshesh for bezin that are lazy. We're choshesh that yisrashlu, that they're just not going to be careful about doing this job. This is the girsa that we have in our Gemara as it's presented. However, there is another girsa in the Gemara, meaning the girsa we have in the Gemara is that the Gemara had asked Velishaye, why don't you keep it over another day? And Rabbi Yirmiyah gives an answer to that follow-up question, that Chashin Lebezin Toin. However, the Rashbam quotes that there are those that are not goreis the kasha of Velishaye. Rather, this Rabbi Yirmiyah is just giving another teretz to the previous question, meaning the previous question was, why don't we erase where the signatures are, write over it, and then compare it to the rest of the shtar? So answer number one was, Eino dama nimchak ben yom, ole nimchak ben shnei yamim. And answer number two is, Cheshin ole bezin towin. The Rechoshish of Bezin is not going to do a good job of comparing the two. What's wrong with the gears of Elishaye, of the Gemara's question, why don't you leave it over another day? So Tosfos explains what's wrong with the question, because what are you saying? I can't compare where the Edom are signed to the rest of the shtar, because where they've both been erased once, but where the Edom are signed is a fresh scraping, whereas what was on top is not a fresh scraping. So the Gemara's question is, so wait another day, and then you'll be able to compare them. Well, no, if you wait another day, then they're still off. There's still a discrepancy in time of when they were scraped, meaning where the Edom are signed is a more fresh scraping, even though it may not be super fresh by tomorrow, but it's still more fresh than what was written on top. So the whole question of Elishaye doesn't make any sense. We're saying that you're not going to be able to compare them because there's a discrepancy in the time of when they were scraped, when they were erased. So waiting another day, it's like, I'm not as old as my older brother, but if I keep waiting, then I'll get it. No, he's getting older too. So you're waiting another day, the part of the top of the shtar is also getting older. So it's never going to be comparable to one another. And therefore, Tulsa says that's why they're not goreis Felishaye, because the question of Felishaye doesn't really make much sense. Okay, so that's the end of the discussion about writing over an erased shtar. So now the Gemara turns its attention to the next line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, he said that if you have a shtar makushar that the Edom signed on the inside of the shtar, which is not typical for a shtar makushar, it's still going to be kosher because you can always turn it into a shtar pashut. Tanakama says, no, it's going to be pasul. So Heshev, Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel, Rabbi responded to the svar of Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel, who had said, don't worry, you could just turn it into a shtar pashut. The way that they would date a shtar pashut is different than the way they would date a shtar makushar, because apparently the way they would date the Zman in the Shtaros was always based on how many years that particular king has been in power, and Pashut, Malach Shana, Monolo Shana. By Ishtar Pashut, they would write the actual date, that if the king has been in power for 1 year, so they would write in the first year. But Shtayim, Monolo Shtayim. They would write the accurate date. But Mekushar, the practice was, for whatever reason, that Malach Shana, Monolo Shtayim, Shtayim, Monolo Shalosh, they would inflate the years of the king by 1 year. So if you're going to have a Shtar Mekushar that you turn into a Shtar Pashut, the dates are going to be off. Because in a Mekushar, they're dating it with an inflated date. And in a Pashut, it's an accurate date. So Rebbe explains the Chashash of what's going to happen. And so what? So the date is off? No, it's terrible. Because Zimnan Dezayif Minei Zuzeh, B'Mekushar, a guy is going to borrow money from somebody else using Shtar Mekushar. So the actual true date of the Halva'a is the first year of the king. But the Shtar is going to say the second year of the king. It's going to say that it happened a year later. And in between the time of the loan and the time that's written in the shtar, meaning the time, because the shtar is written a year later, so in between the time where the loan actually happened and the date that's written in the shtar, the borrower will come up with some money, and he'll pay back the money, and he'll say to the lender, Havli shtarai, give me back my shtar because I paid you back. The lender is going to say, irkasli, oh, whoops, sorry, I lost it. I wish I could give it back to you, but I don't have it. So Kasav Leitavra, he says, I'll tell you what, I'll write you a receipt with today's date on it that says that I gave it back to you, that you gave me back the money. So Kimati Zimni, and then when the Zman that's written in the Shtar arrives, which is in the second year of the Malchus, Mashvile Pashut, the Malva will just turn the Shtar from a Makushar into a Pashut. So he's going to say, oh, look, you owe me money today. So Amalei, Hashtu Di is after me now. He's going to say, you just borrowed money from me today. The Zman that's written in the Shtar, whereas the Shovar was written on an earlier date based on the Zman when the payment actually happened. So that's going to be a terrible takala. He's going to say, because the lender is going to come and say, you owe me money. The borrower is going to say, what do you mean? I paid you back. I have a Shovar. He's going to say, that Shovar is dated before the loan. So obviously that Shovar is from an old loan. The loan has a newer date on it. Why does the loan have a newer date on it? Because it was written as a Shtar Mekushar, now they turned it into a Shtar Pashut, so it's off by a year. So that's a real concern that's going to happen. The Rishonim point out that the kasha shouldn't just be on turning a shtar mekushar into a shtar pashut. It's a more fundamental kasha on any shtar meuchar. Problem is, in Maseches Shviyos, we say that a shtar chov meuchar is kasher. How could a shtar chov meuchar ever be kasher? I mean, forget about mekushar, but any shtar chov meuchar should be a problem. Right? Shtar muktam we know is possible. Shtar meuchar we say is kasher. Shouldn't this be a problem? So Tosa says, Rebbe holds like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi that a shtar meuchar is possible. But in a chinami, that's why he holds a shtar meuchar is possible. But Rebbe apparently didn't have a problem with this. So it answers the Gemara, Kasavar, or Rebbe is raising the problem with this actually. So it answers the Gemara, Kasavar ein kosvin shovar. The Rebbe Chaim ben Gamliel holds that we don't write a shovar and therefore there's no problem. So it says the Gemara, mi baki Rebbe memukushar. Did Rebbe really ever have this conversation? Rebbe knew the dinim, the ins and outs of shtar meuchar well enough to pose such a challenge? Based on what we know about Rebbe's relationship with the Shtar Mekushar, he doesn't seem to be the greatest expert in Shtar Mekushar. Why? Vahu Mekushar, there was one time a Shtar Mekushar, Dostal Kameh de Rebbe, that came to Rebbe's Bezdin, Vahme Rebbe said, what's going on over here? Shtar Mekushar said, this whole thing is post-dated, the whole thing is a Shtar Mekushar, this is strange. So Amalei, Zonin the Rebbe, so Zonin said to Rebbe, Zonin is the person's name, Kach min hage shalom azu. This is the practice of this nation, the Malach Shana Manu L'Shtayim, Shtayim Manu L'Shalosh. So the Chum were Mesakein, that in the Shtar Mekushar, we write the date in the way that they write the dates in their shtaros in this country, in order to make more distinctions between the Shtar Pashut and the Shtar Mekushar. Why do we want to make more distinctions between Shtar Pashut and Shtar Mekushar, says Rashbam? To make it as confusing as possible to write a Shtar Mekushar. Because after all, we have to remember why they were Mesakein Shtar Mekushar. To make it difficult for Kohanim to divorce their wives. So if you make it really confusing and really difficult, and there's a whole bunch of rules that are different than a regular Shtar, so then it's going to be harder. order to write such a shtar. The Meiri writes, no, it's dafka that they want that they would write, they would post date a shtar makushar and follow the minug of that country dafka by a get, because they're hoping to convince the kohen husband when it says next year's date, he'll say, ooh, I guess I'm not allowed to use this for another year, so I can't divorce my wife for another year, and hopefully that will stall him a bit, and then he won't divorce his wife. That's the Meiri's clever suggestion over here. So it says Gemara, but the Gemara's question is, Rebbe didn't know what was going on. He looked at a date in Shtar Makushar and he's like, this is off. And he had no idea that that's the way they dated Shtar Makushar. So you're going to tell me that Rebbe was aware enough to be able to ask this question, to be able to pose this challenge, that turning a Shtar Makushar into a Shtar Pasha is going to cause problems? So it says Gemara, Basad Shama Mizan and Svara. Yeah, he was aware enough after he had that conversation. Initially, he was confused. He didn't know what was going on. Zonin educated him, right? So that's the definition of a Chacham, who throughout his life, he learns more. And then he implements that learning in his future interactions. So no problem at all. So it says, there was a shtar that said, that was dated, Vishnas Ploni of the Melech Archon, meaning Archon means he's someone who's ratway for his malchus, but it didn't say which year of the malchus the halva'a was. And the reason they had to write this man was if he sells, the lova sells karkos after the halva'a, and he's not going to have money to pay, the malva's going to be able to collect from the kuchos. But if he sold it before the halva'a, the malva's not going to be able to collect from the kuchos. But it doesn't say which year of the melech, so we have a suffix. So Amrav Chanina Yivdak Emesai Amad Archan Bar Chanuse. So he said, let's see when Archan, what year he started to be Malich, and then we'll know that it was the first year of his Malchus, because it just says, Bishnas Ploni Archan, in the years of Archan. So it probably means the first year of Archan. So it says Gemara, what do you mean? V'dilma da'aruch Malchusei. Maybe he was a Melech for 50 years. So how are you going to know that that this shtar happened year number one of Archan? So Amrav Hoshaya, Kach Min Hagash Lumazu, Shon Rishon, Korin Lo Archan, Shnir Digon. Now they changed the name. They only call it Archon in his first year of Malchus. In the second year of Malchus, they call it Digon. So if they dated this is during the Malchus Archon, then they know it's the first year. But maybe he was Malich twice. Maybe he was a Melech. Then they overthrew the government, and then 10 years later he got his chevra back together and he took over the government again. So he became Archon again. So I'm Rabbi Yirmiya. No, when a person becomes a melech a second time around after another president, took over for 4 years in between, they call it Archon Digon. They don't call that Archon. They call that Archon Digon. They have it as a separate name, and therefore you'll be able to tell. So says Gemara Tan Rabban. Once we're talking about Digon and Archon, Hareini Nazir. If a guy says Hareini Nazir, and he doesn't say how long he's going to be Nazir for, so Sumcha Samar. Sumcha says if he said Hareini Nazir Heina, then it's Achas. Then he's chayiv in one Nazirus, which means a period of 30 days. Digon, if he says Hareini Nazir Digon, Shtayim, it means he's accepting two periods of Nazirus. Trigon, Shalosh. Trigon means he's accepting three periods of Nazirus. Tatrigon, Arba. Pentigon Chamesh. So that's how we use, even though it's a foreign language, we use that to be able to know the Chiddush of the Braisa is, Rashi writes in Maseches Nazir, is that a person could be Mekabel Nazirus Bekal Lashon. Tosfos and the Ramban say, that's not such a great Chiddush. Of course you could be Mekabel Nazirus Bekal Lashon. You think if a guy says in English that I'm a Nazir, he's not a Nazir. So Tosfos has to work on what other Chiddush there might be in this line. But once we're on the topic, Tan Rabbanon, we have a Braisa in Maseches Negaim, when it talks about Nigei Batim, which may or may never have ever happened, that bias ugul, if you have a circular house, a weird design where it doesn't have corners, so or digon, a house that only has two corners, it's a semicircle, so it only has two corners at the edges of the semicircle, trigon, or a triangular house, or pentagon, a house that it's a pentagon, eino metame b'negayim, it's not subject to tumas negayim, tetrigon metame b'negayim, only a normal house that's a box, four walls, only that's metame b'negayim, mina animili, how do I I know that's true? Ditan Rabbanan, because the Brisa darshans the psukim that describe the negei batim, that the pasuk says l'malo omer kir kiros shtayim l'mata omer kir kiros shtayim hayrei kan arba, that the term kiros appears twice in the psukim. Kir means one wall, kiros means two walls, twice times two is four, so four walls is a is subject to tumas negayim. Ha'u makusha dasal kamed Rebbe Yishtar makusha once came to Rebbe Vamer Rebbe ain zman bezeh, and Rebbe was confused. He said there's no date on the shtar. So because again initially Rebbe wasn't familiar with shtar makushar. Some of the Rebbe Shimba Rebbe the Rebbe Sheva ben kshar of muvla. He says no, it's a shtar makushar. Look in between the stitchings. Maybe there's a date written there. So Palye he opened it up the chazi and he saw that there taka was a date there. Hadu chazmer Rebbe bebishus. So Rebbe looked at Rebbe Shimon with an angry face because he assumed Rebbe Shimon was the one that wrote the shtar, and Rebbe thought that it was not right to write a shtar makushar because people don't know how it's what the rules are. So Rabbi Yehuda Chaita Kasvei. So Rabbi Shimon says it wasn't me. It was Rabbi Yehuda Chaita that wrote it. So why would you throw him under the bus? Just say it wasn't you. Why do you have to say that it was him that did it? So Zimnin Havi Yosef Kamei. Another time he was sitting in front of his father with Kapasuk Sidra and the Sefer Tilim, and Rabbi was finishing one of the Sifrei Tilim. So Rabbi Kamu Miyushak Savzei. He says, wow, what a beautiful cleft this is that I'm reading from. So Amalei Lavanak Safte Yehuda Chaita Kasvei. He says, it wasn't me, it was Yehuda Chaita that wrote it. Amalei Klach Miloshon Harazeh. He said, stop speaking Loshon Har about him already. So Bishla Mahasam Yikha Loshon Har Lahachamai Loshon Har Yikha. He just said he has a beautiful handwriting. Why is that Loshon Har? So Mishum Drav Dimi Titani Rav Dimi Achud Rav Safra Liolam Ali Safra Adam B'Tovaso Shal Chavero Shemitok Shavaso Bali De Ra'aso. You shouldn't even speak nicely about other people, because if someone doesn't like the other person, they're going to start saying, oh, you think he's such a good guy, and they're going to start saying bad things about the other person. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, that's only in front of someone that doesn't like the other guy, but otherwise it's nice to say nice things about the person. So it's only in the context of the previous story, where Rebbe already didn't like the fact that this guy wrote Shtar Makushar, that you shouldn't start speaking nicely about him in a different context, because you're afraid it's going to lead to Lashon Hara. Okay, B'Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amram Rav Amram on the bottom of the page. Everyone have a great day and a good Shabbos.